Okay, 7 o'clock, it's time to call to order the Town Discovery Bay's regular CSD meeting. If I could get everybody to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could I have a roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments. If there's any members of the public that wishes to address the board, this is your opportunity. If you want to speak, go ahead and please state your name, and you'll have 3 minutes to state whatever you want to talk about. Do we have any public comments?
Chair, if I may, can I say one thing?
Yes.
So the Board of, or the Town Discovery Bay at the last meeting, if you are one of the members of the public that attended the special meeting, there was no reportable action, and the Town Discovery Bay Board reconvened at 6:09 p.m.
Thank you. Again, so if there's any members of the public that wishes to speak, now is your opportunity. Hearing none, I will close public comments and move to the consent calendar. Does anyone want to remove anything, or can I get a motion?
Motion to approve all items listed on the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Coutel?
Aye. Consent calendar carries. Okay, then we'll move to E1 presentations. Do we have anyone from Viola?
Anthony's on vacation, so he will do this presentation next month.
Okay, very good. Then we'll move forward to business and action items. Number one.
Good evening, Board. This item before you is a request by Discovery Bay Recreation and Sports to install a shade structure in the waiting area of the Community Center pickleball courts. This shade structure is approximately 12 feet by 45 feet by 8 feet, and there's a schematic attached to your staff report that gives a general description of what it would look like. They're asking for approval to install the shade structure, and in order to do so, they need a soils report in order to determine the ground stability underneath the waiting area of the pickleball courts. And so what they're proposing to do is have a 4-inch borehole drilled through the waiting area court surface and a sample of the soil removed, and then have it analyzed by Terracon, which is the company that did the soils report for our pool. So they've been in contact with Terracon. Terracon said, you can combine that with the soils report we did earlier, and we will give you a recommendation on what would be needed for the footing engineering of this shade structure. The cost of all this would be borne through a donation by DBRS to the Town of Discovery Bay, and the Town of Discovery Bay would then in turn use that donated money to contact directly with Terracon, and then contact directly with the construction company regarding the shade structure. I believe they have raised the money to pay for the borehole, and I think they are in the process of raising money for the shade structure. We brought this matter before the July 7th Parks and Recreation Committee. They heard the matter, heard from DBRS representative, and their recommendation is for the board to approve this item. I'm available for questions.
In the event that the soil sample comes back and it's on unsteady ground, which I don't think any of us think so, what will be the state then? Will it then be returned to normal at the at another donation, or how will the plug be plugged?
They propose that the plugs be plugged probably with dirt or rock or whatever, and then compacted and then grouted so that it becomes a flush surface again. and not a tripping hazard. And you would probably see a ring there, but it is in the waiting area and it doesn't affect court play at all.
Okay. And that's also, just to clarify what they said at Parks and Rec, if it does go through, that's where part of the shade structure is going to be at. So it essentially would have the post from the shade structure there.
That's their intention. Let's hope that's a reality.
Actual reality. And the intention's good, right?
I got one follow-up question. So assuming that the shade structure, the soil sample comes back, everything's good, the shade structure gets approved, goes in, ongoing maintenance of the shade structure, will that be the town's responsibility or will that be the community foundation? Or, sorry, the...
The Well Foundation.
Thank you.
That would be the town's responsibility because the asset would be owned by the town.
Okay. Do you have an approximate cost of of the shade?
I do not.
Okay.
And as far as the maintenance goes, would it just be as simple as washing it off? And
That's my impression, mm-hmm. that it would be something that we would probably use a leaf blower on 90% mm-hmm. of the time to get rid mm-hmm. of the dust, an occasional power wash.
All right, sorry. I'm full of questions tonight. I apologize. The height of the shade structure is, how will that be affected by the, I'm concerned about the winds ripping the structure, obviously. So I know that we have wind netting around the courts. Do you anticipate that the wind netting would also protect the shade structure from the winds coming through?
I don't think that calculates into it. I think what calculates into it is the engineering of the structure itself, and that includes what it's going to take, how much would this, and that's where the soil sample becomes very important.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I believe it's just a matter of whatever they use for a canopy or whatever, that's going to wear, and there's nothing for wind shear they can really do about that, but as long as the structure can hold it, so it doesn't cause them, that's probably going to be a replaceable unit, whatever they use for a structure. It's not going to be a metal. It's going to. What's the structure going to? What's the roof of it going to be?
Steel? No.
I think it's a metal of some sort. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure if it's aluminum or.
On the drawing, it says steel.
Does it show that?
Yeah, it says Borg Steel Building. Borga Steel Building.
Okay. That's what it is. Steel.
A lot of these questions were asked during the Park and Rec Committee meeting.
And, okay.
And so based on our discussion with the pickleball folks and with staff, we felt it was a non-issue for us to move forward with it.
Okay.
And of course, board
does it, does it say what the structure is going to be over? Because I see a picture of some framing, but I don't see any finished product. What's the finished product of the roof structure?
I believe that it needs to be engineered. So we'll get a schematic once everything's engineered out properly. Okay. My impression is this is a company that they're proposing to deal with a company that does these things like over school parking lots. So this would be a very scaled down, kind of customized version, scaled to fit over the waiting area.
I have nothing further.
All of this would be subject to approval by staff. This is not a done deal. It would have to fit the approval from staff.
Okay. This require a motion?
Yes, please.
I make a motion that we approve the shade structure of the waiting area of the community center pickleball course.
A second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gattone?
Aye.
Yeah, just confirming that the motion also included the bore hole.
Well, I guess I'm still not clear. I'm reading the recommended action. So we're approving something we have no idea what it's going to look like. Is that what we just did?
Yes, you're approving.
And my vote's no. I would change my vote to no. I don't want to approve something that I have no idea what it's going to look like. I don't understand why we don't have a rendering or a product sample or an idea of what the product's going to be that's going to go out there before we vote on it. That, to me, doesn't make any sense. Did they share that with the Parks and Rec?
They gave us a schematic that you we're sharing with you now. My understanding, though, tonight's motion was for them to, allowing them to move forward with the soils test. That's my understanding.
With the intention of installing a shade structure and then bringing
that I can vote aye for. If you're not voting for a final product, because
no, it's not the final product.
No. So can
it's
we?
Not the final
product. Okay. Is that the way that? I'm just reading the action says approve the installation of a shade structure. That's what I believe I just voted on, and I can't approve something I don't know what it looks like.
I agree with that.
Can we do the motion?
How do we do that, sir?
You can make a motion to approve a borehole for a potential future shade structure in order to obtain a soil sample.
For it, with the intent of putting in a future shade structure.
Correct.
That I would vote aye for that.
And that's what I thought we were doing. So
if that okay, so if that's the motion,
could Director Graham modify her motion?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to withdraw my earlier motion.
So it would be the motion to reconsider. And so as long as we have a consensus on the board of reconsideration of the previous action, so we would do that as step one. Step two, we come back and we reconsider the action that you just took.
Okay.
With this new information that Director Graves and Director
I'd make a motion to reconsider. I'd make a motion to reconsider the original motion.
And I'll second that.
Okay.
So then a vote's taken on that.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Mateo?
Aye.
And I make a motion for a soil sample to be obtained by cutting a four-inch diameter borehole to the paved surface in the waiting area in anticipation of installation of a shade structure at the community center pickleball courts.
I second.
Get a roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Mateo?
Aye.
Sorry, guys.
No, that was a good catch.
I apologize. It should have been clearer in the recommendation.
Okay, then we'll move forward to item two.
Item two was at the last board meeting, it was a suggested agenda item, so it's been placed on the agenda. This originated out of a communications committee meeting where it was proffered that perhaps the lakes and the lakeshore communities were not really involved in the community of Discovery Bay as much as we'd like to see them involved, and that we wanted to reach out to those communities and invite them and remind them that they're very much a part of Discovery Bay and that we would like to see them involved in many of our processes. And so in response to that communication committee meeting, a letter was sent to the Lakes HOA and management company and the Lakeshore Management Company, and asking them to advise their members that we have committee meetings and we have board meetings, and we would encourage their membership to become involved and participate in those meetings. Since that time, we have not received any communication from either of the homeowners association, except the Lakes did write us and ask us to freshen up some of the landscaping on Pitcher Road, but there was no mention of the earlier letter. And so what was proposed is potentially a board member being approved as a representative to make a presentation at one of the HOA board meetings for each of the lakes and the lakeshore.
Pick up the stories and then I'll have AJ back now.
Hello.
Okay. Excuse me, if members of the public, if you're on the line, if you could please mute your phone.
So, HOA meetings are private, they're not open to the public. And so what we would do if a board member is selected to do this, one or more board members is selected to do this, is I could write the HOA management company and ask for an invitation for a board member to attend one of their meetings and just make a presentation about the town and including them in our governmental decision.
Sounds reasonable. So question maybe for the committee. And that is, do we have any idea how they communicate with their board members, and is it possible for us to be able to be included in a newsletter or something like that that goes out to them?
Yeah, that's what we'll find out. We can communicate with them. I know one of the developments has a Facebook page. Will they allow us to, you know, post anything on there, you know, connect with them with what we post on the town website? Is there a newsletter we can send out to, you know, get them involved with decisions that are being made, keep them updated on the community center, the pool, the, you know, just, oh, any events, the summer jam, whatever the case may be. So hopefully we can open up some communication with them.
My thought on that would be that we would use their existing form of communication to spread our word rather than create another.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, if that's what you and you know, and then just have a key individual that does that that would receive information from us, and they could put it into their thing and go from there. And I think that's a great idea. We can only do it. We can only reach out. We can only put out our hand and see if they want to shake it. Right?
Yeah,
can I ask a random question? How many total HOAs do we have in the town of Discovery Bay?
About 13. Oh, it might be more than that now. 15, maybe. Something like that.
Of record, we have 9. I checked on that today.
Oh, okay.
Some have dissolved.
Yeah, apparently. Oh, that's right. The big one has. What about, and that includes the 2 over there? That 9?
Yes.
Late lecture?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
my bad.
If we're reaching out, I guess my concern is, if we're only reaching out to 2 HOAs, are we opening up Pandora's box by only reaching out to those 2 and not reaching out to the additional HOAs? Like, what we do for one, do we need to do for all? And I think going to all those meetings because they're private is a lot to ask.
I'd defer to communications on that for their opinions.
So the thought process behind this was to try to get members from the other side of the community that don't seem to participate very often on decisions that are being made in the town. Reach out to them, get them more involved. We've sent a letter. Did not seem to get any result from that. So the next logical step was just to go, hey, we're down at Discovery Bay. All of us are. Please be involved. Here's what we do. Here's what we're responsible for. We'd love to see you attend. It's not something fancy, something elaborate. Just basically reach out in person, and we would like an invitation.
And any of the HOAs that are in Zone 8, obviously, you know, they are in our zone, but we see very little back and forth communication with that side of town, so to speak. And so, and I wish the Centex Homes had an HOA, but they don't. So that's another thing as well, to figure out is how we can better communicate with them as well.
I think that's a very real perception. We've actually talked about that before. Is that some of the people live over there don't even know we have a marina. It's like when I said,
right.
Oh, I live in the Blue Roost by the marina, they go, oh, there's a marina? And so
absolutely.
I think it's a very real, and there's now about a third of our population probably within the district lives in Village 4, or Village 3 and 4 out there. I don't remember exactly what the numbers are, but it's another bigger than that. And I think it's a great idea. I think that those of us that live in the Blue Roofs, or that live over here across the street, know we're here and know we live here because we drive into this area all the time. I think that we're missing the boat with a lot of young families, and because mm-hmm. a lot of that population over there, knowing what's going on here with the community center, what Monica's doing, and I think it's a great idea. And if you guys want to make that motion, I would definitely entertain that.
Well, I agree with also Director Porter. I mean, there's several other HOAs, and just judging by the amount of phone call participation or in-person participation previously, I would say the whole town of Discovery Bay is not involved. So to me, it's not necessarily just 2 HOAs.
Well, maybe
but
we start with sending all the HOAs a letter saying, would you like to, let's see, who we hear back?
Yeah, I think that these 2 being that I believe those are the 2 largest in population would be a good starting point. And then based on the response from there, we branch out from there.
Sure.
want to make a motion?
So is the motion to go in communication into their newsletters and stuff, or is the motion to actually assign a person to go attend these HOA meetings?
So I would propose a motion. First, we have to get an invite. So my motion would be that we authorize the manager to send a letter asking for an invitation to come to an HOA meeting in both of these organizations to present information on how to connect with the town.
And can I just amend that to say that that would come with the approval of sending one board member
Absolutely.
To one meeting representing the board.
Yes. So
you're going there with the authority of the board.
Yes. The motion is to send the letter to request. We will then come back to the board with a recommendation of whom to send.
Okay.
If that's acceptable. Do I need to repeat the motion, or are we clear on it?
Just you said the organization, so you're referring to the lakes and
the lakes. Yes, sorry.
Okay, and there goes the power.
Power's gone.
We're still recording.
And we're almost coming back. But is the phone working?
No, it's off.
No, it's power for the night. Do we continue the meeting?
And I can plug in to the.
What does the state law allow for power outages? Almost.
This is not good. That's a transformer.
Phone is off.
Yep.
Computers are on.
Well, that's battery.
Yeah, mine's battery. I'm plugged in. Oh, yeah.
You can't battery in your laptop. We literally brought this up a week ago.
Can you note the time?
If we want to continue, I can at least we can record the recording.
I can open the line back up with my phone.
I think the landscaping manager should fix this.
I think so too.
We were just talking about everything we needed.
I have a generator in the truck.
You come prepared.
Always.
We're going to plug it into the building?
Might as well.
Is there an input plug?
For the zombie apocalypse, I could go around.
So we are back online. So if we want to, I can put the phone right over here. So we are. The public does have access. If they want, they can call back in. We'll hear them in the line blink.
Okay.
But you do have authority to continue.
Okay. So the active motion, just to remind everyone, the active motion is to authorize the general manager to send a letter to the Lakes and Lakeshore HOAs requesting an invitation to send a board representative to present information on how to connect to the town.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
I think we need public comment.
Yeah.
Ah. But wait. Is there any members of the public on the line? Would like to comment? Thank you. Hearing no public comment, we'll close public comment. And go for roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
President Coteau?
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, item three, discussion of the aqua truck.
Do you have that report in Braille by any chance?
I don't think it's working.
Well, that's the light.
Let's battery operate.
Yeah. Into the habit, right? Evening board, I bring to you the possible action regarding the replacement of 2008 Aqua back truck. Our current Aqua back truck is 2008, and it will be out of compliance with the California emissions in January 1st of 2023. That's only a year and a half away. Our current back truck only has 13,000 miles on it, and it has 2,200 hours. Those hours are not accurate to what's on that back truck. That was an RV that was installed after the fact we had it off the back truck. The current condition of our back truck, the equipment on the back truck is showing its age. It has tanks that leak water. It has the an outrigger for the vacuum boom that likes to break on us. Still functional, but it does have downtime that it hurts us in the maintenance department. Knowing that was happening, we started looking for replacement trucks. We reached out to Jack Doheny, who brought us out several different aqua-vac trucks, combination trucks, which is a vacuum, pressure washer style, and a tank truck. The vehicles they brought out to us, I have a comparison sheet on there if you want to take a look at that, compare them across the board. We brought out several with 7,000 miles, 19,000 miles. Different versions of them. We also reached out to Dak Doheny to see if they would take our truck and retrofit it, bring it up to date. And what that would be a brand new cab and brand new chassis with a new powertrain. But they would take our equipment that's aging on ours and put it on that. So we got a quote on there for that as well. We also reached out to Own Equipment. We had a demo unit that came out. They had 8,000 miles, only 200 hours. That truck is not used heavily in the maintenance department. It's really just a show truck. They drive around everywhere. We also reached out to Rico. They came out. They brought us their demo unit from 2016 or 14, I believe. They brought it out to one of our sites, operated for us to one of our hardest to maintain lift stations where no other truck could actually reach, was able to pull a vacuum in our lift station, and they were also able to demonstrate that they can pull a vacuum 50 feet below water elevation. All the other vac trucks that came out could only plunge their vacuum hose 6 inches to a foot. And I found that pretty critical to us, seeing how we have 11 underwater main crossings that when they fail, we need to back out and inspect when they do fail, as we've had two here in the past recently. We're also looking at a diffuser project that will be a 200-foot length and span pipe out into the delta. And it's going to be about 35 to 40 feet under the waterhead. This truck would be able to send the vacuum hose into this pipe and actually clean out the muck that our current diffuser has in it now. So no other trucks that was able to come out here could do that. In fact, one of them tried demonstrating that and they hurt the truck. So the recommendation action here would be to go ahead and proceed with purchasing the 2022 Gap Vacs from Weco Industries. Any questions?
I have a comment. The Water Wastewater Committee has been tracking this for, gosh, probably 6 or 8 months now, and we've reviewed many of the possibilities. Director Porter is a expert in trucks and has given her input on this and looked at the thing, and has the recommendation follows suit. Well, I shouldn't speak for you, actually, but I believe it follows suit to what you had, she had looked at on this. And and then one point of clarification, I think that we're, rather than lose all value in the truck that we have, we're thinking about possibly repurposing that truck with a new body on it to be able to run our pressed waste into the shed. Is that correct?
Yes. So our current vehicle, our current 2008 Aqua truck, will no longer be compliant in January 1st of 2023. But as of right now, we have an old International on site. And you can fall under the low-use, low-hour-use guidelines of California if you don't go more than 1,000 miles a year or 100 operating hours. And we, our current International conveyor belt truck that has failed, the Aqua truck, or that International does not see or meet those hours per miles. So we're looking at repurposing that Aqua truck. We would reuse the cab, chassis, and drivetrain, but just take the equipment off and put different equipment on there too.
Basically, put a new truck body on the back that it's specific to that need.
Correct.
And so the committee also discussed that on what to do with the old truck, and then we would be getting rid of the truck that we're already having problems with, which is the International.
The International.
So I just wanted to give that piece of information from the committee.
How often is the truck used?
That varies on Veolia's maintenance. They'll go around. They have to maintain all lift stations. We have 13 lift stations. They also have to go out and they have to jet clean our sewer mains and clear out blockages and run out for emergency uses. The vac truck is probably used once a week, full 8 hours, depending on what they're doing. It could be used more than that. Less than that, depending on emergencies and other maintenance.
So I think something to point out, I mean, we're looking at the price of it, and it seems astronomical, but for what that body does and how it functions and the warranties on it and the parts on it, I mean, it's a really specialized body. If you're looking at the other ones, those are all demos. They don't have any warranty left on them, and you're still, you know, $459,000, $399,000, $395,000. And it doesn't meet the needs of what we're going to be utilizing it for. I think the ability for it to go underwater helps save money in a different project that is not, necessarily reflective on this cost. But the other part that we liked about it is that sometimes when these trucks have issues, and they do, it's not the chassis part of it, it's the body part of it. They're very complicated. Finding parts to fix those, like if something goes down or we need to go in and pump something out and it breaks and we can't find parts, that can cause us some compliance issues. This body uses common parts from Napa Auto Parts. So that was also appealing in the fact of how it was constructed and what we needed to utilize in order to fix it if there were a problem.
Can I go one more?
Go ahead.
Forgive me if this is a silly question. Are there companies that provide this as a service?
Yes, there are companies that you can. Jack Doheny allows you to rent their equipment.
Okay.
There's also companies when we had our underwater crossing, Mike Duraca helped me reach out to a company that came out and brought their own vac truck to clean out our own water line. I won't mention the company, but that truck also failed to clean our line.
Okay.
There are services that.
So my question would be, has there been any analysis done as to the frequency of use, not barring emergencies, I understand that, of either hiring a service or renting a truck for the specific task at hand? Has there been any analysis done to see if that's a more cost-effective with less maintenance type of agreement?
That hasn't been, only because of the fact we would need this truck to be on-site, ready to go, dependable, within hours' notice. Like we could, emergencies, we could have an incident at 2 o'clock in the morning like I've had within the last year or two, I've had two times. And that truck's got to be able to get out there with the guys to be able to do that job. I don't want to depend on a company that I got to call at 2 o'clock in the morning to go pick up the truck and
right.
bring it out to the site.
Okay, that's fair.
Actually, yeah, Mike, we did discuss that, and we talked about the price, too, for the amount of hours that it gets put on it. But the problem is the amount of money that we could be fined for not being responsible enough to have that as part of our fleet
okay.
was also a consideration that the committee looked at. And as Aaron just stated, there are times, and we are very... have not had any major SSOs, but there has been times in the past where we've literally had to go suck this stuff out of the gutters before it got into the bay. And so you have to be ready to go as soon as you can get Veolia or our guys on site. And it doesn't allow for that time to be able to locate a truck.
Makes sense.
I just have two questions. First question, not that that relevant, but in 2008 when that equipment was purchased, was that the best piece of equipment that we could have bought for the requirements that we had at that time, or
I
weren't here then, but
was purchased, but just standing back at it probably met our needs at that time. Knowing that piece of equipment myself, I can only tell you from the experience that I've had with it and the crew that's operated it, it's not a very reliable vehicle. Functioning-wise, it seems every time we bring it out, it's almost—I hate to say in this community—but it's almost like a boat.
Okay. Do you expect the same amount of hours and usage on the new truck, or do you have any calibration?
I think with the new truck, we will probably see an increase in usage, but not by much, only because of the ease of use and the capabilities of that truck to get to locations the old truck did.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. The life expectancy of the new truck.
Oh, the life expectancy of this truck, in fact, WECO gave us a couple of contacts, and people do not sell this truck. They hold on to it forever. In fact, WECO had to buy it back from one of the cities to tell them they're using it. I looked for this style truck gap backs as a use equipment. I couldn't find it.
I would say the only moving target on that would be CARB compliance, which is mandated by California, the state of California, and that's a constant moving target.
Can it get any more stringent?
Yeah, it can.
Yeah, the electric truck.
Electric
truck, and then we have an emergency and electricity's out, we can't go do anything.
But here's the thing, but this kind of avoids some of the electricity stuff because the regulations that they're putting in play for the electric stuff, if you have newer equipment, you have a little bit of a give before you have to do that. I don't think we meet the fleet number demands on the electric, but like I said, it's kind of a moving target.
And actually, one more question, I apologize, and I'm not sure. Was this already part of our budgeted...
That's my next question, thank you.
When was this approved?
This was approved with the last budget, so it is in our budget and the capital budget.
Got it. Okay.
If there are no more questions, I'd make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation.
Let me go open to public comments first.
Well, go ahead, do that.
Do we have any public comments regarding this? Hearing none, I will close public comments.
Now I would like to make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation on item F3 and purchasing the back truck.
A second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Vito?
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And going off topic just for 1 second, I just got a PG&E text saying they expect power to be restored by 10:45.
Well, we're not going to wait.
Wait,
okay, then we'll move forward. General Manager's report.
Yes, thank you. As you know, Discovery Bay is a groundwater sustainability agency as required by SGMA, which is the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. The purpose of the act is to protect the quality and availability of groundwater. Discovery Bay's water supply is wholly dependent upon groundwater from the East Contra Costa sub-basin. SGMA requires that we develop a plan of sustainability for our sub-basin. Discovery Bay entered into a memorandum of understanding with Contra Costa County and six other agencies that draw from our sub-basin to develop a groundwater sustainability plan. So rather than each GSA doing their own plan, we entered into an understanding to do it as a group and submit it as a group. I'm reporting tonight that we've made significant progress in the development of a draft plan that is near completion. The draft plan contains a table of contents and 9 sections. The draft plan can be reviewed through a link on our town's website, and we invite public comment. Our group has held 2 public outreach Zoom meetings that were very well attended. I believe at least 1 additional public input meeting will be held in the near future. Board member comments, suggestions, and ideas can be given directly to me. The group intends to have the draft plan completed within the next couple of months, and it will come before this board, as well as other agency boards, for approval. This will be required so that we can submit the plan in time to meet the State Water Board deadline, which is early next year. So, it's a very lengthy, very involved document. It's on our web. All the draft sections can be reached through our website. I would encourage you that if you have some insomnia, to pop on the line and look at it. But it is an important document. And you will be voting on accepting the plan probably in November. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention as an update, and that we are reaching out to the public for comment, and we take those comments seriously. If there are any questions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any director reports?
Actually, I do have two, but I forgot to bring them with me. They're sitting at home, so I'll have to bring them into the office.
Okay. Any future agenda items? Hearing none, then 7:40, meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.